I don't know about you, but years ago, well, even now, really, to a certain extent, I used to think, man, it'd be so cool to have Jesus to show up. You know what I mean? Just, you know, there you are in the house, and all of a sudden, there's Jesus. And have you guys ever kind of thought that way too, kind of felt like that? You know, and there you are at the dinner table. You know, you're eating your meatloaf. And the room begins to glow. And you look up, and there's Jesus. And you know it's Jesus because he's got one of those little sticky name tags. And, hello, my name is Jesus. And you say, oh, you must be Jesus. And he says, yeah, I'm Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You know, at a time like that, wouldn't you be kind of tongue-tied, not know for sure what to say? And you know, Jesus, we're having dinner. Would you like to join us? Would you like some meatloaf? He says, nah, I think I'll pass on that. Oh, you're fasting. He says, no, I'm not fasting. I just know you make lousy meatloaf. You should be up there where I am whenever you make this, the way your family prays. Oh, God, stop it, stop it. Well, anyway, all those things that you thought, boy, if I could just sit down with Jesus, just ask him questions, just talk to him for a little bit, pick his brain, you know. So, you know, you sit down with him and you're talking. And you can kind of tell by the way the conversation is going. He's probably going to bring some things up that maybe you don't really want to talk about. But anyway, on the inside, you know, you just know you need to. So, you know, you guys start talking about some things, and he starts giving you some instructions, some things to do. I want you to start making different meatloaf. Get Pastor Jim's recipe. It's the best. I want you to go to church every time the doors open. I mean, and the way he says it, it's like, yeah, okay. You're right, you know. And then he looks at you and says, now you're going to do all these things? And you look at him and you say, oh, Jesus, listen, I'm telling you, I promise you I'm going to do these things. Cross my heart and hope to, never mind. I will do these things. He says, okay. He says, well, I'm not going to visit you again, I don't think. But one way or the other, we will meet again. And then, you know, he just is gone. Wouldn't you be excited? Oh, man. You know, you wouldn't know what to do. Who do I call first? Who do I tell first? Who's going to believe me? Well, anyway, let's think about all these things that he said to us. There he was, literally in our room, talking to us. And he might not have eaten our meatloaf, but he did have a cup of coffee with us, piece of cherry pie. And he gave us some instructions, told us some things to do. Now, this is probably one of those questions that doesn't even need to be asked, but wouldn't you do what he told you to do? Seriously. Wouldn't you do what he's told you to do? Are you sure? Are you sure you would do? Oh, yes, absolutely I would. I mean, seeing Jesus, you know, Son of God, the risen Savior, right there in front of me, if he told me what to do, then I'd do it. Well, let's find out. Let's look over in Luke. Luke 24. We know what to say. We know what we know how to talk the talk. But when it really comes down to doing what Jesus says, the question is, would we really obey? Well, in Luke 24, what's happened is Jesus has been crucified and he has been laid in the tomb. And we'll just pick this up in verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And you'll find out later who the they are. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the eleven apostles. You know, Judas had killed himself. Told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with him which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day. What same day? The day of his resurrection. They went to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have said that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which were come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now what's happened here? Jesus has risen from the dead, and there were the folks that went to the tomb, and they saw him. Now, they had this encounter. The angels, we're going to see another account where they did see him. But nobody else saw him except for these two that were talking with him on the road to Emmaus. Now, this is still the same day of his resurrection. Well, we pick this up and it says in verse 36, And as they thus spake. Now, who is it that's doing the talking? It's the two on the road to Emmaus. But they're now in Jerusalem and they're telling the 11 and those who were with the 11 what they had just experienced. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. In other words, blink, there he was. Now, again, this is what day? The day of his resurrection. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. I can just see this. He says, You got anything to eat? And they say, Well, we got this piece of fish and this honeycomb. He said, Well, here, let me have some. So they give it to him, and everybody is standing there watching. You know, it's no fun to eat and people be staring at you. You know what I'm talking about? And here's Jesus. He's eating and everybody's just kind of staring at him. Well, anyway, he took it and did eat before them and said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So, what's going on here? He's telling them, you guys need to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he explained the Scriptures about repentance. I mean, he just opened everything up to them and explained it to them. Now, let's turn over to John chapter 20 and see this a little bit differently. John chapter 20. Now in verse 1, it says, The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Well, we already read about this, how that she was there. Now in this account, it's not talking so much about all the other people, it's identifying her. And then she runneth and told Simon Peter, and you know, and he goes and he looks, and you know, we're not going to read all of this, but it's the day of his resurrection. Verse 1, the first day of the week, it's the day of his resurrection. And then it says that Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and the two angels, verse 12, in white, she saw one sitting at the head and the other at the feet where Jesus' body had been laid. They said, Woman, why are you weeping? She said, Well, they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus. But she didn't know it was him, didn't recognize him. And then Jesus looks at her, verse 15, and says, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus says, Mary. And she turned herself and says, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And he says, You know, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene, verse 18, came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, okay, now again, what day is it? It is the first day, it's the day of his resurrection. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So what do we have? We have a little bit more information about what happened on that first day, the day of his resurrection. We know the story. They went to the tomb, and we know the story. Jesus showed up, and he's talking with the disciples, and he, you know, even has some food, ate with them. And it says that he gave them an instruction: tarry in Jerusalem till you be filled with the Holy Ghost, from, you know, power from on high. But Thomas wasn't there that first time. Well, in verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. But how long has it been now? The first day he showed up and talked with them, ate with them, told them, tarry in Jerusalem. Now here it is, 8 days later, and he appears a second time. Now do you think, in their minds, they were remembering what happened the first time? I don't know about you, but just human nature, I'm sure they were. You see, Thomas, we told you. Remember you said, unless you touch the prince and put the hand in the side. Well, you believe now, don't you? Yes, I believe now. I believe now. What was it again that happened when he... Well, like we told you, he showed up and explained and taught and all this other. And, you know, we knew it was him. And he tells us, you know, tarry in Jerusalem till we be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, he's appeared unto them 2 times. Do you think they believe he's alive? Yes. Well, let's go even further. In chapter 21 here in John, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. In other words, verse 21, chapter 21, verse 1, is saying, he appears again, and this is how it happened. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and 2 other of his disciples. Okay, now let's count this. There was Simon, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others. That's 7. 7 out of how many? 11. We have a majority, do we not? A majority of the apostles. Now look, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt him a fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Wonder where that came from. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet not was the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. This is the third time. Where did he find them the third time? They weren't in Jerusalem, were they? What had he told them to do? He said, Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He didn't say, Show up when you feel like it, leave, come back, leave. No, he didn't say, Go fishing every now and then. He said, Stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. He's already appeared to them twice. In spite of that, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And he was so convincing that six others agreed to leave Jerusalem and go with him. And Jesus showed up, what we just read here. Now look what happens. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? More than these what? The apostles? The fish. When Jesus told them, go to Jerusalem and tarry, what he was telling them was, don't let yourself get distracted. Go there and wait. Because the day is coming when God is going to send His power and you will be the recipients of that power. But you have to be tarrying in Jerusalem to get it. Well, Peter, he gets to thinking about this. And it's like, you know what? If I go to Jerusalem, how are we going to eat? How are we going to live? How are we going to pay the bills? What's going to happen? I mean, and he starts reasoning in his mind what he thinks is going to work better for him. Then not only does he make a decision for himself, but he influences others who have received the exact same instruction from Jesus to leave the place where Jesus told them to stay and go with him. Now, granted, it doesn't say he asked them to go, but he sure didn't talk them out of it. And so seven of the apostles leave Jerusalem and go fishing. Well, what was fishing? Well, for Peter, James, and John, that was the way they made money. That was the way they had a source of income. So in Peter's mind, John's mind, James' mind, they knew that they could make some money. They weren't just fishing to eat. They knew they could go out, catch fish, sell the fish, make some money. Let me kind of say it like this. Peter began thinking about the instructions of Jesus, and maybe he didn't want to openly admit it, but he didn't see any profit in it. He didn't see any support in it. He did not see in his mind while he was rationalizing any good reason to not go fishing. I can go fishing, catch some fish, sell them, make some money, and go back into Jerusalem. And Jesus, he looks at Peter and he says, You love me more than these? In other words, do you love me more than what you see as the thing you can do best in life? As the thing that you can do to support yourself and your family? Because we know that Peter was married. Do you love me more than what your natural efforts can produce? Do you love me more than this? Well, then Peter, he says unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, Peter knew he had disobeyed. But he was ready to rationalize it. You say, well, how do you know that? There was nothing about what Peter was doing that indicated he did not want to do what God wanted to do. But in his mind, he's thinking, I can still do this over here. When Jesus shows up, he says, Do you love me? And he says, Yeah, I love you. Now think about this. How many times have we in our own hearts, or even to other people, declared our love for God? And we mean it. We mean it with everything in us. And yet, are we being obedient to what He's told us to do? Are we, figuratively speaking, are we tarrying in Jerusalem? Or are we going fishing? Are we tarrying in Jerusalem, but then rationalizing in our mind, I can go fishing, I can do the things that I know to do that could bring good results, but I'll still go back to Jerusalem. I'll be obedient on my terms, not on His. But I will say I'm being obedient and rationalize it to myself and other people. Are we good at that or what? You better believe it. Every one of us. But I want you to look over in Acts chapter 1. There's more to this. Acts chapter 1. And it says, verse 1, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Now we know they didn't see Him 40 consecutive days because we've already seen that He appeared the first day, then 8 days later He appeared, then He appeared again when they went fishing and all that. What this means is, for 40 days after His resurrection, He was still on earth. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of me. This is a reminder of what He had told them before. In other words, you know, the writer here, Luke, is telling us, don't forget, this is what He told them to do back when He appeared to them the very first time. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Now He's reminding them here, right before He ascends, He's reminding them, guys, do you remember what I told you to do the day of my resurrection? Well, He spoke these things, was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven. Now, what's happened here? The cloud has taken Him out of their sight. Now, what are they doing? They're standing there looking up. They can't see him, but they're standing there looking up. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, this is what my version here, okay? They're standing there looking up. These two guys, angels, appear. And they look at him and they say, "Hello, Jesus told you, tarry in Jerusalem. What are you doing here?" Verse 12, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." In other words, I guess we might ought to do this, huh? Now, there's a lot in this story we don't know. There's a lot of detail. It's not revealed in Scripture. But what you can see is that in spite of the fact these guys had seen the risen Jesus alive two times, they still made a decision to do it their way. I'm going fishing. I'm going to do what I know that I can do. I'm going to go do what I'm good at. Oh, I'll still obey Him. I'll still go to Jerusalem, but, you know, we haven't had any endowment of power or anything like that, so like, I'm going to go and I'll be making some money. And when I make this money, I'll take it back with me to Jerusalem to help buy everybody food while we're waiting for power. I'm going to help God out with this. It's like he believed God. He believed what Jesus said. But part of him was just struggling with the obedience. And even when Jesus is risen up into heaven, these guys, "Why are you standing here watching? He's coming back. Do what he said." Now again, that's my version. Well, then they finally go back to Jerusalem and they wait around. It's 10 more days. But they finally got the message. For the next 10 days, they didn't go fishing. They might have had somebody go out, you know, around the corner to the market to get food or something like that. But they didn't leave. They stayed in Jerusalem and they were in that upper room. And I can tell you right now, on that day of Pentecost, when it happened, they were so glad they were there. Now I want you to take this even further. The Bible tells us that over the course of time, when Jesus was here on earth, that he appeared to over 500 people. It might have been 600, it might have been 800, we really don't know for sure. But he appeared to over 500 people. Now, if Jesus has raised from the dead, don't you think people are going to talk about, the people who've seen him, don't you think they would talk among themselves about what he said? Yeah, I remember he appeared to us the first day he was raised from the dead. And he told us to stay, tarry in Jerusalem till we be endued in power. I mean, you just would do something like that. And then the question might be, what kind of power? Well, it's going to come from God. It's, you know, the Holy Ghost will be endued with power and you know, whatever and so on and explain and talk and all this other. But on the day of Pentecost, there's only about 120 people there. So time passes. A couple of days later, whatever, I don't know. And then they meet somebody who was one of the 500. Now, what have you told people about a service you've attended, any church, anywhere, camp meeting, doesn't matter. A service you attended where the presence of God was just absolutely incredible. Did you not tell people something like, "Oh man, you should have been there. It was incredible"? Don't you think these guys would have said the same thing to people they met? You remember how, you know, you saw him alive? You know, well, you know, we went to Jerusalem, we tarried just like he said, and then there we were, rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues of fire. We start speaking in languages and all this stuff, and then thousands of people got saved. Man, you should have been there. And those people, what do you think is going through their mind? I wish I had a been there. Let's think about this. The resurrected Jesus showed up, told them what to do, yet they still didn't seem really enthused about being totally obedient. Seven of them decided to leave Jerusalem and go fishing. The resurrected Jesus told them this. They thought he was dead. And then he convinces them. He appears before them. He is alive. They had been with him for about 3.5 years, heard the teaching, seen the miracles, even heard him say, "You believe in me, the things I do, you shall do also." They heard this, heard it. And yet, they still were not fully obedient to his instructions. Now, we talk about, boy, if Jesus would show up in my living room, in my bedroom, in my kitchen, whatever. Oh, I'd sit and I'd pay attention, I'd take notes, I'd do whatever he tells me to do. Are you sure? Are you sure? If these guys didn't, what makes you think we would? All right, let's take it a little bit further. Are we doing what we know we're supposed to do now? What is the last thing he told you to do? Do you even remember? Most people don't. Some Christians, many, don't even believe he talks anymore. Have you had an instruction from the Lord? And are you being obedient? You say, well, you know what? He told me something a while back. And I'll be honest with you. I just don't believe I remember what it was. You know what? He remembers. How about if you sit down and talk to him and ask him, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. I blew it. I don't remember what you told me to do. Could you please remind me? Would you please remind me? And then help me, because I want to be obedient. Our lack of obedience to his instructions could cause us to miss an upper room experience. Now, I'm not talking about a literal rushing mighty wind. I'm just talking about a manifestation of something that he has promised, whatever that would be relative to an individual. Now look, I'm not standing up here sharing this with you as though I have always been perfectly obedient to everything he's told me to do. There are some things that he'll tell you to do, and I'll be honest, guys, you have to fight the flesh like you can't believe in order to be obedient. He could tell you something very simple like, all I want you to do right now, I just want you to pray 1 hour a day in tongues. And you think, well, I can do that. Yeah. Do you know why he's telling you 1 hour? It's because he knows you're going to have to fight to the, you know, figuratively speaking, death for that 1 hour. He knows he can't tell you 2 hours. Or, I mean, if he knows, if you're struggling and he tells you 2 hours, that would be so overwhelming to you. He may realize that telling you to go to pray for 2 hours right now would be like telling you to, you know, leap tall buildings in a single bound. Be faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. He knows that right now that is beyond your ability relative to your spiritual development. So he gives you something that he knows you can do. What I want you to do right now is pray for an hour in tongues. Every day, just pray an hour in tongues. And you think, well, I can do that. That's no big deal. Then you sit down and you try to do it. It's like, I can't believe this. I'd rather have a root canal than try to spend an hour. But see, he knows you can do it. And he knows it's going to be a battle. Thing is, he will be there to help you out. He told these guys, wait in Jerusalem. Just tarry in Jerusalem. He didn't even tell them to pray. He just said, go there. Hang around. Just Wait. That's all I want you. Just go to Jerusalem. Wait. Watch TV. Watch the ball game. Just go to Jerusalem. Wait. And they had a hard time doing that. So what has the Lord told you to do that you really haven't done? And you say, well, you know, don't really know. Well, then ask Him. Ask Him, what would you like me to do? Now, whatever He tells you to do, it will be something you can do. And it'd be different for different people. I don't know what it would be. But whatever He tells you to do, I can remember Tim Stemple. He said the first thing he ever heard the Lord tell him to do was clean the water ring out of the bathtub for his mother. And he thought, dude, what? And the Lord said, yeah, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? Well, he'd never done that before. So this was something new. And he had to force himself to remember to do that. As simple as it was. Remember what Joyce Meyer talks about. The Lord told her, when you're shopping there at Walmart, take the cart back when you're done, because she'd just leave it out in the middle of the parking lot. You know those kind of people you can't stand? Well, she was one of them. She just leave the shopping cart out there in the middle of the parking lot. And the Lord said, put it back. And she, you know, well, why? Because put it back. Put it back. Well, finally, I mean, that was a challenge for her. As simple as it sounds. You put the carts back, don't you? Uh-huh. All right. Yeah, some of you, not do, you know, you've got that little poker face. And it's there now. No. Move on, Pastor. Move on. Whatever He tells you to do, it's for your benefit. No matter how simple or insignificant it seems. Tarry in Jerusalem. Well, I can do that and go fishing too. I didn't say that. I said tarry in Jerusalem. What if the Holy Spirit had shown up while they were out there on that boat? Now, we know it didn't work out that way, but it's the kind of thing that you mull around in your mind. It's like, my lack of obedience, how much does that impact how He uses me? My lack of obedience, how much does it interfere with me being a recipient of something He has said He wants me to receive? The more we fight to be obedient is the more He's able to work in us to produce through us His desires for our life. Remember when He was talking about if you're faithful in the few, you'll be faithful in the much? It's the same thing. The same thing. These guys had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And they still struggled to obey. I don't like to think that maybe I would be like that. But you know something? If they were like that, I think it would be wise for me to say, I might do the same thing. Well, maybe I'm going fishing and I don't even think about it like that. Because I'm rationalizing my actions. I don't know. But if God tells us to do something, there's a reason for it. And our obedience is critical concerning His will and purpose for our lives. So, are you being obedient to what He's told you to do? If not, go to war with the flesh and become obedient. Satan can't stop you, but you sure can stop you. So, just don't be looking for a resurrected Jesus. Obey Him now. Don't make Him have to show up. Amen?